Lesson number 4, the Holy Spirit's ministry prior to the cross. We sometimes think that the Holy Spirit only started to function from Pentecost, in answer to the prayer of Christ. But as one reads the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is working constantly. Our memory verse is a promise of Christ through Ezekiel, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. The New International Version. From creation, long before the cross, the Holy Spirit directed the lives of God's people. Jesus promised that if anyone accepted him, came to him, drank of the waters that he provided, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now this he said of the Spirit, which those who believed on him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now is this a contradiction? If the Holy Spirit brooded on the face of the deep in Genesis, if the Spirit didn't strive with the people of Noah's time indefinitely, the Spirit must have been there. How could Scripture say the Spirit was not given because Jesus was not yet glorified? And the answer is that the Spirit was not given in his fullness. The Old Testament, as we mentioned a lesson or so ago, is a revelation of Jesus Christ. The New Testament is a revelation of the Father. And from the book of Acts, the rest of the history of salvation is the ministry of the Spirit in his fullness. Part number 1, Spirit created and sustained. As Psalmist tells us, the Spirit went forth and produced. In Genesis, the Spirit brooded over the face of the deep. This picture of brooding is of a cockbird fluttering over a hen to vivify, to give life, to fructify. So the energizing principles of the Holy Spirit to give life were manifest right at the beginning of the story of creation. The Holy Spirit is a divine agent. He enables. He has got power to bring energy to structures that already exist. He comes to the believers. He comes to the church. Through the believers, by means of the church, he can do great things. That is, he takes the agencies that God has already provided. There are many figures of speech, metaphors, symbols used in the Bible to describe the work of the Spirit. He is the breath, he is the wind, he is the sinew, he is the hand, he is the eye, he is the sap, and many others. So we see the Spirit working in every age. It is through the agency of the Holy Spirit that God communicates with man. He's done this from the very beginning, but since Pentecost, he is doing it in the richest fulfillment of the promise of Christ. Part number 2, the Spirit convicts of sin. In the story of the flood, Jehovah revealed to Noah that my Spirit will not always strive with man. That is, God's Spirit will be withdrawn at a certain point. Now, Christ talked about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit that could not be forgiven. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the rejection of his ministry. Without the functioning of the Holy Spirit, no person would ever be convinced or convicted of sin, or be urged by the inner working of the Spirit to ask for forgiveness. Without repentance, without forgiveness, one is lost. So when the Holy Spirit is finally rejected by the wicked who make the ultimate decision, there is no possibility of forgiveness because they have rejected the only agent that brings about repentance. The Holy Spirit worked in the days of Balaam, and Balaam is a case in point. He rejected the workings of the Spirit until finally he was lost. And in spite of all his sins, David realized that the Spirit was working in his life and so earnestly prayed that God would never take away the Spirit from him. So long before the cross, the Holy Spirit was working. He worked even throughout the history of Israel. The warnings given in the Word of God to the children of Israel were meant not merely for them, but for all who should live upon the earth. If the Lord rebuked his people anciently because they neglected to seek counsel of him, will he not be displeased today if his people, instead of depending on the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness to lighten their way, turn from him in test and trial to human beings? Part number 3. The Spirit enriched God's people. We think of the days of Samuel, the days of the Exodus, the days of the call of Ezekiel, and the days of the time of Zechariah. Here we've got a period of almost 1,000 years. 900 years. And the Spirit, whenever the need came up, was working to bring about changes. Heaven's plan of salvation is broad enough to embrace the whole world. God longs to breathe into prostrate humanity the breath of life. The Holy Spirit is the agent that does that. Moved by the Holy Spirit, holy men in Old Testament times proclaimed the Word of God that still benefits God's people. In our lesson, especially in Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah, God promises that by his Holy Spirit, he will make a new covenant with his people, that he will write his law in their minds and put them in their hearts. One of the strongest promises and warnings was given through Zechariah by the Lord himself. When Israel was coming back to rebuild the temple, to restore the city, to reorganize the government, and to organize the nation after the return from Babylonish captivity, when things were going well, everyone was happy. And then when things were going well, not so well, they became discouraged. And so the Lord sent us a message by Zechariah that success did not depend on human activity, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. And if you look in the marginal readings of might and power, it points to the organization of an army and the energy of human beings. It's not by that that God's plans will be carried out, but by the direction of the Holy Spirit. And as we think of the background of the second Exodus, from return from Babylonish captivity, we see God's Holy Spirit working behind the scenes, changing the thinking of kings, bringing about decrees and ordinances, protecting his people, that carried out the design of God. Part number 4. The Spirit dwelt in the hearts of believers. When we say heart, we mean, of course, the mind, the inner thinking, in the text that we have been given, the time of the patriarchs, time of the prophets, in the days of Daniel, we see that the Spirit entered the minds of all those who were ready to turn to Him. Over and over again, God promised that if man would only think about Him, yield to Him, the Spirit of God would direct his entire life. Part number 5. Of all the questions that Satan arouses, all the doubts that he brings into our minds, the Holy Spirit is the agent that brings the solution. He will guide us into all truth that it is good for us to know. The working of the Spirit before the cross and after the cross is exactly the same. He comes into the mind, still small voice, don't do this. Or do this. Do this. Don't say this. Say this. He's there if we are ready. He will guide us into the reality of life that God has for us. The word truth in the New Testament has the basic meaning of reality. It's not only the opposite of falsehood, but it's the real thing. When we live by the truth, the life is real as God wants it to be. In our relationships, those are real, solid Christian relationships. So when Jesus Christ fulfilled the promise that he had made of sending his Holy Spirit, he made this kind of victorious living possible. During the patriarchal age, the influence of the Spirit had been revealed in a marked manner, but never in its fullness, Ellen White says. Now, in obedience to the word of the Savior, the disciples offered their supplications for this gift, and in heaven Christ added his intercession. He claimed the gift of the Spirit that he might pour it upon his people. And we today might be the recipients of this same gift if we only ask and yield. Part number 6. There is not an impulse of our nature, not a faculty of the mind, not an inclination of the heart, but needs to be, moment by moment, under the control of the Spirit of God. What a wonderful sentence. The impulses of our hearts, the faculties of the mind, may be, moment by moment, controlled by the Spirit. There's not a blessing which God bestows upon man, not a trial which he permits to befall on him. But Satan both can and will seize upon it to tempt, to harass. Therefore, however great one's spiritual life, however much he may enjoy of divine favor and blessing, he should ever walk humbly before the Lord, pleading in faith that God will direct every thought and control every impulse. What a wonderful prospect we have of living in the Spirit.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.